Appreciate the presence of everyone here this morning, especially those who are visiting. We're glad that you're here. Hope that we have something beneficial for us to study this morning. I thought about trying to do something for mothers, since this is, by some account, Mother's Day. And I had a working title of Mothers, Where Would We Be Without Them? But that didn't seem to be working too well, so I decided to scratch that. And I think it is a good time to think of the importance of a godly mother and her service to not only God, but to her family. However, this morning, we're going to turn our attention not to a mother per se. Perhaps she is. We don't know for certain. But she is labeled as a widow. If you would turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And what I think is a fascinating few verses, ripe with lessons for those of us who are disciples. In just a moment, we'll read a few verses together. You know, our society is very impressed with wealth. That's obvious to us. Recently, you had a big lottery and several won, and of course, it made all the newspapers. And occasionally, you'll see newspaper headlines or TV news broadcasts that say, you know, millionaire donates a great sum of money to a public library, perhaps to his alma mater, or some charity of some kind. And that makes headlines because people are impressed not only with wealth, but they're also impressed with great acts of generosity. And we like to make note of that. And while society and even ourselves may be impressed with large contributions, extraordinary acts of humanitarianism, God is not so easily impressed with such acts. And I think the Lord demonstrates what we need to be impressed with or take a note of when we see acts of kindness and acts of generosity. So let's turn our attention to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let me kind of set the stage here. Jesus is with his disciples. They're at the temple, the center of Jewish life, especially their religious life. Everything focuses upon the temple. Not only are sacrifices offered there, but people bring their money to put into the treasury. And it is this that they are watching. Jesus and his disciples are watching people coming into the temple and bringing their money at the feet of the priest into the treasury itself. And he notes one widow in particular, beginning in verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." This morning, I'd like to talk about the widow's two mites, and this widow in particular. She is a fascinating character to me, even though not much is said. Jesus pointed her out to his disciples. There's something that he is trying to get them to understand, and I think also for us. And so I think it's worthwhile for us to spend just a few minutes in contrast to what others were doing at the time. And while we're going to make some references to template, I think there's some principles that we'll be talking about this morning that will apply to that, but in essence, really a lesson this morning on one service to God and the principles. And so the first point I think that we can draw from this illustration that Jesus has something to give to God. But it's really based upon one's willingness to give that is the real. But this poor widow, she didn't excuse herself from giving something to God. Even eat on. I just simply can't afford to give to God. But yet she did not excuse herself and not to give. No matter how little you think you might have, you have some based on what you have or don't have, but really your willingness. And the Bible's very clear on that. Turn with me over in Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, where Paul writes, "It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." And so the principle is set forth there for us. It's not basically, I can do great things for God if I have great things to give, but really it's a willingness to give. Again, I'll have to read that verse again, just to kind of willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. And so great service to God is not, but is really a willingness. That is what God looks for in our lives. I think we can see that even in the Old Testament. I'd like to first turn to an account in the book of Exodus. And notice something there about one's willingness and a desire to do something for God based upon, or as a basis of our service to Him. But in Exodus, Israelites have recently been taken out of bondage. They're brought to Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses, and now the command has come for them to build a tabernacle for God. And the tabernacle, again, this was the place where God would dwell. From among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the silver and bronze. And he goes and lists some other things as well down through verse 9. But notice what God says. He commands an offering, but he says here, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. I mean, that's what God wants. He doesn't want service or offering or giving based upon one who is unwilling, but one who is genuinely desiring to give something to God. And notice the response of the people in verses 21 and 22, and then also verse 29. He says, then they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, and jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Drop down to verse 29. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. I mean, these people, in an outpouring of love and a desire to serve God with a willing heart, the writer seems to indicate over and over here, with a willing heart, they gave to God. And just like that widow back in Mark the 12th chapter, clearly her willingness is demonstrated for us. With as much excuses that she could have given to not give, she gave willingly. And certainly that should be the attitude. That's really the essence, or one of the essences of Christianity in our service to God, is how willing are we to serve Him? How willing, how desirous are we to be pleasing and wanting to do the things for Him? That's the real test, I think. I don't think there are going to be Christians that are going to be dragged into heaven against their will. They're not going to be people who are standing around the throne of God that aren't wanting to be there. Neither should there be those of us who are serving today, this morning, offering money to the Lord, remembering the Lord's Supper, offering prayers, singing praises, doing so if there's no desire. I think God despises that. What He wants from all of us are those who are truly, genuinely wanting to do for God what we can, even if it is something very little and insignificant compared to the standards of the world. But you know, we give all kinds of excuses for not honoring God. We might say, well, we're too poor. Well, that didn't stop the widow from giving. We might say, well, I just don't have enough talent in whatever area you think that you might be required of you. Well, use what talent you do have. Or you might say, I just don't have the skills. Well, use the skills that God has given you. Or you might say, I just don't have enough time. Well, there's always time for God, and those that are willing can make time, and they can devote their time to Him. The point that we're trying to make that is clear throughout the Scriptures over and over again is that the service that God wants from us is one of freedom, not one of compellingness or forcing us to serve Him, but He wants it voluntarily. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when he's talking about financial giving, I think the principle can be extended much broader than that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, he says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's the type of giving that God wants. And I think that's the type of giving that we see in that widow. One who had purposed in her heart. One who did so cheerfully, not grudgingly. There was no one there forcing her to do that. She wasn't there because of societal pressure. She wasn't there for any other pressures other than the fact that she knew she wanted to do something for God, and therefore she did it. So everyone has something to give to God, and the attitude of willingness is dominant in this lesson of the widow. But let's call attention to another aspect, another lesson perhaps that we can learn from this widow, and that is the principle of giving one's all. I'd like to ask a question, and this is sort of a thought question before I kind of delve into this. Did Jesus ever command any of his disciples or anyone at all to give all his possessions? In other words, to give up everything that they had. Did Jesus ever command that? And give that some thought for just a second. And if you reflect on the scriptures, you'll find out that yes, Jesus did, in fact, command at times individuals to give everything that they had. And I'd like to look at two of these for just a moment. One is Luke chapter 12, verse 33, where he is talking to his disciples, those that are directly following him. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33, he says, "Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so at least in this particular instance, in this context, he does tell his disciples, sell what you have and give alms to the poor. And there's another instance where he commands an individual to give all or sell all that he has. In Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23, we know the story of the rich young ruler who asked Jesus a very important question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells him, well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father, your mother. And the man says, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So at least two different occasions, Jesus did command individuals to sell everything that they had and give it all away to the poor. And I don't think necessarily that Jesus meant that to be commands for everyone who desired to follow him and have service to God. I don't think that that was the point. And I don't think that the point that Jesus was making to his disciples in Mark chapter 12 about the widow was that everyone's to follow her example and give everything financially to God. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here, because that would contradict some other things that God has told us to do, like responsibility to family and to work hard with our hands. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all our might. And to be able to provide for not only ourselves, but for others who are in our charge and our care. So I don't think that that's necessary, but there is a lesson that clearly Jesus is trying to show his disciples and to us as well, and that is the principle of giving one's all. When it comes to service to God, it's really this. The bottom line is it's all or nothing. When it comes to being a servant of God, it is everything in life that you have or is in your control belongs to God. And I think that's what Jesus is pointing out through this widow. I think it's the principle behind cross-bearing. I know we turned to a number of passages. Turn to another one with me to Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 38. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. I'd like to perhaps offer an alternative explanation to this verse of what perhaps we have heard quite often. In verse 38, he says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Oftentimes we have taught that by saying that the cross is representative of whatever burden or temptation that you commonly face, whatever is difficult in your life, you are to take a hold of that and bear that burden sacrificially. However, I don't think that that's exactly what Jesus is saying here, although perhaps there's some principles that might tend to lead that way. If you think about what the cross is, the cross was an instrument of death. It was a place where, or a instrument basically, where criminals were hung and they were killed. And what Jesus is really saying here, I think, in verses 38 and 39, he said, those who take up that cross as an instrument of death and kill themselves, sacrifice themselves entirely, he says, if they don't do that, you're not worthy to follow me. In other words, if you're not willing to sacrifice your life, to lose it, to give it away, then you're not worthy to follow me. And that is an extremely high bar that Jesus has set for mankind. And I would dare say that most people who claim to be a follower of Christ have yet to reach that. We need to understand the very level of what Jesus is saying. He is saying that we must give everything up, nothing left. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says something very similar. And talking about our service to God. He says here in verse 1, I beseech you, he's begging them. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. So we know Jesus is not literally saying to take a cross and to kill ourselves for his sake. But Paul shows us the application in a spiritual sense, that even though we don't literally kill ourselves, spiritually and figuratively, we are offering ourselves as a sacrifice to God. Our entire life, our bodies, everything that's in control is to be in service to the Lord. And nothing less will do. And so we have to ask the question here just to talk about it. Well, does Jesus want us to give all our possessions? I mean, right now, does he expect of us to take our houses, our cars, our money, our savings accounts, our 401ks, give all those up in service to him? Well, I think possibly. And I'll only offer that as a possibility. Perhaps for some. Perhaps some, like the rich young ruler who loved his riches so much that it stood in his way of his service to God. Perhaps there are those that Jesus today yet requires for them to sell all that they have. And it would be needful for that individual to fulfill their discipleship. However, I think the general rule is no, that's not what is in expectation. However, we need to have this attitude that all that we have is still in service to God. Even if it's in our name, if our name is on the checking account, the savings account, on the title to our car, on the mortgage of our house, whatever the case may be, if our names are there, we need to still remember it still belongs to God. It still must be used in his service and to the best of our abilities. And just to give some practical illustrations, if we're fortunate, blessed enough to have a house, let's use it for entertainment. In the sense of what we read about in Hebrews, where some unknowingly entertained angels. Let's be hospitable. Let's use that for perhaps Bible studies. Let's use our homes in a way that might honor and glorify God. Perhaps we have vehicles that we could use to help those of us who are unable to get around, to provide them transportation. If we have money, perhaps we should use that for good, for service, not only for those who are poor, perhaps for continuing to spread the gospel, as we certainly do here. But one thing that we need to make sure and understanding, when we talk about giving of our financial means and goods, let that not be the totality of your service. I think sometimes many Christians, they get the impression, or they seem to feel that if they give a certain amount in the contribution plate, that they're serving God. And that's all that God requires. And brethren, I hope we never, ever get to that attitude where we think as long as we put a check in the plate, then that's all that's required of me. God help us if we get to that point. Because that is by far what God wants from us. He doesn't want your check, per se. And I think that's the least of God's concerns in our lives. He wants your heart. He wants your mind and your willingness to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your mind. The money that we give on Sunday in the collection plate, that's just a reflection of our attitude and not the totality of our service to God. Well, let's turn back to Mark chapter 12. I have one more point that I'd like to make about this widow. And I'd like to revisit the verses itself. And notice that something that Jesus says about this widow that we need to give some thought to. Verse 43 says that, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Now, if you think about exactly what Jesus is saying here, when he says he put in all her livelihood, her whole livelihood, that begs the question at this point, is what would this poor widow do for food a few hours from now, a day from now? How is she going to eat? How is she going to live? Because Jesus said she put in everything that she had. After this, she has nothing. And that should really stress for us, really highlight for us the real sacrifice that this woman is giving. It's not just a matter of her giving money, but she gave everything that she had. There is nothing left for her to live on. Now, perhaps she has a job. Perhaps she begs on the street. Perhaps there's a family that helps give her a stipend of some kind to be able to meet some of her needs. We're not told that. But Jesus clearly says that Her whole livelihood is gone at that moment. There's nothing left for her at that point. And we're left wondering, well, what's going to happen to her at that time? And it's amazing. I think the real power of this lesson is this question that we're asking here. It's clearly that her faith in God was enough to sustain her. Even though Jesus doesn't use the word faith, even though he doesn't spell that out in exactly those words, I think the implication in my mind is very clear. When she gave everything, all that's left was her faith in God, for God to provide for her in the future. There was nothing left. And what this woman does for us is really demonstrates the kind of sacrifice that we need to have in our service to God. You see, the other givers, at least the rich that is mentioned here about how they gave much, Jesus said that they only gave out of their abundance. In other words, they gave in their excess, those things where they could take some money out of and it wouldn't hurt them one way or the other. They would continue to be able to eat and live and enjoy life. And that's the portion of money, or that portion of money that they could afford to give. But Jesus points to this woman that this woman gave out of her livelihood. And I think we need to give some serious thought to what Jesus is really saying to us as Christians about the level of service that we need to have. And I'll have to ask some hard questions to myself as well as to anyone who desires to follow Christ. What is service without sacrifice? What is service without giving until it hurts? Can we say that that's genuine service to God? Is that the kind of service that God expects of me? A service where it doesn't in some aspect hurt me? in some way, where maybe it's painful to give or painful to serve in some way. I don't think God relishes my pain, but perhaps He does expect me to be willing to sacrifice to the point that it does perhaps even adversely affect me. Perhaps we need to demonstrate the kind of sacrifice without worrying about how it will adversely affect us. And I know we need to give some consideration. We should not act carelessly and irresponsibly at the hurt of ourselves or to others. But perhaps there are times where service is demanded of us that may require for us to be hurt by it. And yet we should not allow that to be an excuse not to serve. Could you imagine the apostles serving God and then coming to the point, well, Lord, you know, we want to serve you, but we now realize that there's more at stake here, that there's going to be pain involved. Some of us may even lose our lives because we're serving you. We decided that's too much. We're going to go on and do something else. Or can you imagine Jesus in the prayer of the garden saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And if you don't do it, if you don't let this cup pass, I'm just going to let it pass anyway. And I'm going to go on and do something else. The point is very clear. This widow teaches us what sacrifice is. And this her one little act of two little mites. It may seem so insignificant to us, but is the greatest act that in this context, that was accomplished. And in light of all these others, she gave the most because she gave all that she had. And her sacrifice and faith is clearly demonstrated to us. Paul learned to live this kind of life in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul makes a point. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He prioritized his life. He saw what was important to him, what was unimportant to him, and he says, well, those things that were at one point important to me, those things simply aren't important any longer for serving Christ. Then you look at chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to be warned, brethren. I'm warning myself as well as all those here. We're in a rich society, the richest society that lives on this face of the earth ever, ever. Let's not be comfortable with that. Perhaps let's use our wealth, use our situation for the glory of God and perhaps to do great things with it in a manner that perhaps only this society could do. We need to reach out. We need to sacrifice ourselves. We need men and women willing to give up their lives in service to God, perhaps even give up their jobs, go to foreign countries and to serve Him. Perhaps just give every Sunday and help support other preachers and other places. But we need to sacrifice our lives. And I'll tell you, as an honest confession, that this widow condemns me. Because where I have failed to give many times, where I have given excuses not to give and to sacrifice, where I have offered pitiful, lame excuses to God and not have given, she freely, willingly gave all that she had without complaint, without excuse, without a worry about how it affect her a few hours or a day from now. She gave it all. And you think about that, that's the principle of what Christ did. Without thought, without complaint, without excuse, He gave His life. He gave all that He had for us. And that is the demand, the expectation of us, those who desire to serve the Lord, that we, without excuse, without complaint, without worry about what will happen tomorrow, that we give all that we have. But we do so willingly and freely. Perhaps there's someone here who has yet to do that, to commit their lives in such a way as to give it all to the Lord. And perhaps today it is demanded of you that you offer your life to the Lord, confessing your sin, asking for forgiveness, being baptized for the remission of those sins, and entering into a service to God through the blood of Christ. If we can help you or aid you in that way, let us do so. Or perhaps you're a Christian and you realize that you have not been the giver of your life as you should have. Perhaps confession should be made for that. And if there's anything that we can do to help aid you, to assist you, we stand ready with tears and open arms, ready to help you. If we can be of any help,